Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 24th, 2007. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for listening to Centennial College Radio News. I'm Darlene Morales, along with Marlena Benjamin and Ashkan Hobuti, giving you the latest on what's going on in the world of news, sports, and entertainment. It's currently 6 degrees outside our studios, and we're expected to reach a high of 16 on this beautiful sunny day. The time is 9:50. Now let's take a look at what's making headlines. The TTC reopens two subway stations this morning after yesterday's closure. A U.S. scientist says that Toronto needs to be a greener place. Some Canadians are urging the Tories to target the green plan to environmentally friendly families. A new study suggests that eating fast food can cause your blood pressure to soar, and former Russian President Boris Yeltsin dies. TTC travelers were able to access Eglinton and York Mills subway stations this morning after a full day allowed them to close yesterday. At about 4:30 a.m. yesterday morning, an accident claimed the life of TTC worker. 38-year-old Antonio Almeida was crushed to death after scaffolding equipment fell onto his car. Two others were also injured. The city needs to be a greener place, says one scientist from the U.S., Dr. David Nowak, a senior research scientist with the United States Forest Service, gave a presentation on Wednesday on why trees are good for the city. The event was hosted by Ryerson's Geography Department and the environmental group Local Enhancement and Appreciation of Forests. Louis Tam reports. Due to technical difficulties, we were not able to play that, however, we are moving on to our next story. The Tory government is being told to target its green plan to what is being called the Suzuki Nation. A recent report released by the Toronto Star shows that more environmentally friendly families are urging the government to consider them in the act that is to be released later on this week. The act is currently aimed at getting corporate companies to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. Eating more fast food can cause your blood pressure to go up, according to a new study released by the University of Calgary. The study took a look at a group of 30 people and saw their blood pressure go up to about 1.5 times higher than those who made non-fat food choices. Tavis Campbell, the director of the study, says that arteries can clog at a rapid pace if people continue to consume high cholesterol products. This can lead to heart failure later on.
This is a Centennial College Radio breaking news bulletin. Now, live to the newsroom.
This just in, the chair of the TTC, Adam Giambroni, has resigned. Giambroni told reporters this morning at City Hall he felt he could not remain on the job running Toronto's Public Transit Commission after yesterday's fatal accident that killed a longtime TTC worker. Giambroni has been on the job only 8 months. He says that he's tried but failed to repair a corporate culture that doesn't put the workers' safety first. We'll have more on this developing story as it unfolds. And lastly, former Russian President Boris Yeltsin has died. He died yesterday, and who was at 76. Yeltsin was best known for saving the Soviet Union through what was called an anti-communist revolution. Officials say he died at the Central Clinical Hospital after suffering from heart failure. And that's your look at news. Now over to Marlena with sports. Marlena, what's going on with the Raptors?
Well, Darlene, Raptors fans need to get ready for Game 2 as the Raptors go head-to-head against the New Jersey Nets tonight in the Air Canada Centre. So far, the New Jersey Nets lead the series 1-0 in the best-of-seven series NBA playoffs. Rumor has it that head coach Mitchell might win Coach of the Year. Keep your fingers crossed for that. Now, if you're heading down that way, fans, you may want to peep in and show our Raptors some support in the Air Canada Centre there. Now, the game airs tonight at 7:30, and I'm sure Raptors fans are clearing their throats to boo Vince Carter like they did on Sunday's game against the Nets. Way to go, fans. Just kidding. Now, heading to baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays end their 5-game losing streak and also end the Boston Red Sox 5-game winning streak. A little irony with the number 5 there. And Frank Thomas celebrates his 490th home run, which gave Tim Wakefield a 2-run drive-off in the 6th inning. Aaron Hill had four hits, including a 2-run homer in the 9th inning. According to the Toronto Metro, Hill had 4 homers in 19 games after getting 6 in 155 last year. All in all, the Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 7-3. Whoa, I guess they took their vitamins. Now to the NHL. The Vancouver Canucks make an amazing recovery, beating the Dallas Stars 4-2 after suffering a tough break in the first half. Trevor Linden scored the final goal, sending the crowd wild. Now to the OHL. The St. Mike's Majors of the OHL slip back to 1 game above .500 for the season as they hosted and lost to the Windsor Spitfires. The Spitfires' goaltending was in tip-top shape while the Majors' leading scorer set out with an undisclosed injury. Matt Smith has this report.
In OHL action yesterday, goalie Anthony Guadagnolo made 28 saves and centerman Brett Liscombe scored the game-winning goal as the Windsor Spitfires beat the St. Mike's Majors 3-2. Guadagnolo, who was recently acquired from the Ottawa 67s, put on quite a spectacle in yesterday's game. Majors coach Bud Stefanski was quite impressed with Guadagnolo's performance.
Their goaltender played well. I mean, there's no question. He came in here on the road and, you know, he shut the door on us.
Majors forward Tyler Donati, who added a goal and an assist for his team, also commented on the Spitfires' goaltender.
I think their goalie did play well tonight. We still need to capitalize. You know, we're going to come up against hot goaltenders every so often, and I think that we need to be able to bury our chances.
The Majors' leading scorer, Justin Donati, was missing in action and was likely the reason why the Majors came out short in the end. Coach Stefanski comments.
You take your leading scorer out of any game, it's going to hurt a team. So it's going to take its toll, and we just have to weather the storm. And Justin Donati will be back in 10 days. We have to get through next weekend on the road, and then go from there.
Thanks for that, Matt. And that's all from the world of sports. Make sure you stay tuned because after the break, we'll have Ashcon Phillison with all the buzz in the entertainment news.
How would you like to save dollars while serving your family the best in beef, pork, chicken, and lamb? Sounds impossible? Well, it isn't. If you own a home freezer and buy your meats wholesale at Compezzi's Meat Locker, hundreds of families have discovered that it actually costs less to serve prime rib, steaks, and chops than it does to scrimp along on bargain hamburger and tough cuts. The secret? Buy your meat in quality from Compezzi's. Imagine 100 pounds of prime beef steaks and roasts for less than $3 a pound. Save even more by purchasing a quarter of a side. With every side of beef, Compezzi's throws in 20 pounds of chicken, 10 pounds of bacon, and a leg of spring lamb. Absolutely free! If you don't own a freezer, Compezzi's will get you started in style. But any of the 300-pound freezers, and Compezzi's will give you a freezer full of frozen food free. Meat, vegetables, even frozen gourmet casseroles, all free with the purchase of a new freezer. Prices for freezers start at $299, and terms can be arranged. Beat the high cost of living. Come into Compezzi's and see which plan is best for your family. Compezzi's has two locations, in the Lakeport Shopping Center and downtown at 1338 5th Street.
Welcome back and hello everyone. From the mysteriously cozy city of Peterborough comes Jonas Bonetta. He is a solo musician, producer, and indie music promoter. In the closing days of his mini Eastern Canadian tour with the Kent Boys, he left his mark in downtown Toronto. He sung sweet original serenades last Friday at Rancho Relaxo to an audience who sat bright-eyed to the magic he lamented. Jonas describes his music as the kind one listens to on a long bus ride home or on a rainy day. Playing songs from his debut album Farewell to Harmony, Jonas's craft speaks at the tone and level everyone can understand. Quiet, rhythmic, 4-minute acoustic songs. He layers several guitar tracks together with the help of pedals and other gadgets and brings multi-instrumentalism to life playing several simultaneously. The incredible thing about being a one-man orchestra is the ability to mesmerize the crowd. His main goal through his performance is to bring the chitter-chatter of any given crowd to a complete silence. Extremely mellow sound consisting of delicate melodies that ring through the room brought him what he wished for that night. Are you afraid of Virginia Woolf? Local theater group East Side Players certainly isn't. The real challenge for everyone involved in the latest production of the 1962 play is to convince the audience that, as usual, the book is much better than the movie. Katie Goujon has this story.
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf, Virginia Woolf. Who's afraid of Virginia?
The days of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are long gone. Toronto Community Theatre Group Eastside Players' latest production hopes to breathe new life into an old classic, Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Those working on the project are looking to move away from the darkness of the 1966 film interpretation. Cast members Robert Ouellette and Kelly Morrison explain.
Mike Nichols, who directed the film, did not think that the humor of the play would come across on film, so he didn't really concentrate too much on the humor.
Yeah.
So consequently, you have a very humorless
and very dark.
And very dark.
Filmed in black and white.
Filmed in black and white.
I remember the music was very somber.
Director Julian Mulock feels that creating a live production of the play makes all the difference in bringing out the comedy.
So there's a sense of comic timing in this play. And when Mike Nichols made the movie, he said that the way to manipulate an audience is through their emotions. So he made it very dark and very highly emotional. Whereas Albee felt that the way to deal with an audience was through comedy. But that's the difference between live theater and movies.
Come and see the lighter side of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at the Paper Mill Theater on Pottery Road. Katie Goujon, Centennial College Radio News, Toronto.
And that's all for me. Now let's send it back to Darlene for the wrap.
Thanks, Ashkan. It's amazing how much talent comes from small towns. From all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great day.